SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Words to Sing the World Alive is a book that celebrates First Nations languages from across the continent. The book was edited by Jasmine McGoke and The Poet's Voice. In this book, 40 First Nations writers and thinkers, journalists and lawyers, artists and astronomers came together to reveal their favorite and significant words. Words that are imbued with family and belonging and that surprise with their connections. Jasmine McGoke, first of all, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, ahead of the release of Words to Sing the World Alive, a series that celebrates First Nations languages from across the continent, what inspired you to co-edit and commission this collection?
I can't take credit for coming up with the idea. It was The Poet's Voice. They had been a part of a couple of events in Victoria about sharing language and poetry and things like that. And they reached out to me, and I got to see transcript of those original events, the poetry and the pieces that were spoken out loud. It caught my attention, and I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to see how something that was a spoken word event could turn into a book.
And there are some very, very powerful authors and artists in this project.
Yeah.
Some of them are familiar to us on NITV Radio, like Jazz Monet and Terry Junkie was on the air recently promoting things completely different, was talking about cybersecurity or something in that sense. Really quite a diverse range of authors and topics to cover. Can you share a particularly meaningful word or phrase from your Torres Strait Islander heritage that you considered including in the collection, and also maybe share with us one or two stories that you also think stand out in the collection, or maybe just you would like to point to us, because it's a huge and everything is worth actually exploring.
Yeah, of course. That's something that we talked about. We wanted readers to be able to pick up the book and read it from front to back, but also to pick it up and flip to the middle and be able to read from there. It's really, really hard to choose a favorite or a standout, but I would say the first piece by Auntie Rose is really important to me because it talks about listening and about what you do with what you listen and the knowledge that you gain from listening to others. And I think it sets up the book really beautifully because it kind of makes you think about what you're going to do with this information that comes through the rest of the book. I think in the last two pieces by Amy Tunick and Timur Ball are also really important to me because Amy's piece talks about giving and reciprocity, and I think it's a wonderful way to finish the collection. And Timur Ball's poem writes about the tension between language and English and how we transcribe them. So I think it's really an important note to end on, and a powerful one to end on as well.
Coming back to the selection, you co-edited, what was the process of selecting and working with the 40 diverse contributors?
It was really difficult. We had a long list of people who we wanted to contribute. I mean, honestly, I think this book could have been three times as long as it is. We could have taken forever with it. The process was, once we reached out, we talked to the contributor and really kind of give them free rein on what they wanted to do. They could write an essay, a poem. I think what was really interesting was a couple of them. With Auntie Rose's piece, the first one is special to me because it started off as a paragraph that she started, and then we had a conversation, the two of us, and it was about me kind of writing down what she said. So I thought it was a really beautiful kind of way of me listening to an elder, which is relevant to her piece, and writing down her words. Curly Saunders sent me voice notes at first. So for her piece, I heard it before I got to read it, which was really special, I think.
As a past participant in the Black and Right, how did the experience with Black and Right influence your approach to this project?
Black and Right is one of my favorite things to talk about. So I was an intern there, and it gave me the best introduction into publishing and specifically into editing First Nations work. It emphasized the importance of culture, and it made me realize that the process of editing was more about just giving feedback on the page. It's about the collaboration between the editor and the person, and making sure that the space is safe for the writer so that the best piece can kind of come out. And sometimes that means that things aren't included in the piece, and sometimes that means that time needs to be taken. And deadlines need to be readjusted so that the content is culturally appropriate and the writer feels safe and able to do their best work.
And the theme, of course, is language, and one really key element in language, First Nations languages, is preservation. How do you think this anthology will contribute to the preservation and revitalization of First Nations languages?
Yeah, I think revitalization has been happening. I mean, it's been happening a long time before this collection. To me, it just felt like a book that was just giving space for First Nations people to write what they wanted, what we wanted, and what we wanted our people to read. I think it's just a snapshot in a moment of time, and it relates to lots of people's experiences in learning their language or teaching their language. Yeah, it was really powerful to me. It kind of was uplifting and a bit scary because it made me realize what I don't know and what I'd love to know.
Do you see the anthology being used in educational settings like schools or even
other? Oh, for sure. Yeah. There are so many different ways to read and understand these pieces and to analyze them. And I'd love to see how young people see these words and the moments and feelings connected to them.
Yeah. It's a massive project, which is, you know, just 40 authors, and you said multidisciplinary, and they use different mediums to communicate. What challenges did you encounter, and what are the most rewarding parts of working on such a massive project?
I think that the hardest part was choosing how to go about asking people to contribute. Obviously, you would know there are so many languages within Australia, and we wanted to represent as many as possible. It wasn't possible in a book that could only hold 40 people's voices. So that was the hardest part, I think, having to accept that we couldn't have 500 different contributions. But the most rewarding part was working with the contributors and having them happy with their piece. And now seeing the book, you know, I have a copy and the contributors have their copy, and seeing them hold it, it's so special.
And did you see any surprising connections? You mentioned some really important, well, because all of them are important, of course, you mentioned it. Mm-hmm. You mentioned some really key ones. Were there any surprising connections or themes that emerged across the different works?
You know, people talked about family and land.
Yeah.
A lot, which to me are also very important, and I found it interesting the different ways people kind of approach those topics.
And finally, because I know you're busy and I can't hold you for a very long time, I could ask you a million questions. As both an author and editor, how was working on this project? How has this project influenced your own writing and understanding of First Nations languages?
I think it inspired me. There was a lot of people in this collection who were very inspiring to me, who are very motivating. And I was so scared to reach out to a lot of people because I admire them so much. And so reading it and seeing the book in a physical format now only makes me want to do this again or to contribute myself to a similar type of book.
What's the release date so we can put it out there so people can get their copy as soon as possible?
Yeah, let me just get that up. So make sure I get the right book. So it'll be out on the 29th of October, but it's available for pre-order now.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to add to the conversation we may have missed?
No, that's it. But thank you so much for asking these questions and being interested in the book. I hope people love it.
No, I'll definitely check it out when it's released. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on NITV Radio today. It's been really a great pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.